How's that closing coming along?
I've been pulling my teeth out. I think I made some progress today. I'm the one that found them, though. That's what ticked
me
off.
Did you hire your PI person?
No, I found it myself.
No kidding.
That's a crazy. Well, I think I did because the driver's license. I went down. They were supposed to send me the driver's license that they had from the closing, but it's so many years ago and the facts, they couldn't read it. So I took it and sent it to my buddy out in Denver, who's real good on photography. And in the meantime, I thought I saw part of the address, and I went home and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to look it up on a couple of my websites. I used IntelliJus, and it popped up. And it shows what's strange is it shows that he lives in Wisconsin, but at the same time it shows the house that he owned. It shows the driver's license, the house he lived in Cartersville, but it also shows that he works at a rental place in Kennesaw, which is just a few miles up the road. So I called it. The guy's name is Jeffrey. And so I called it on the phone. And I just said, is Jeffrey there? And they said, yeah, we'll go get him. Well, I hung up because I want my attorney. So I'm thinking that's him. And his email address that they sent an email to that came back, it matches. So the two houses matches. So I think we got him. I'm hoping.
Nice. When's your attorney calling? Not today?
I tell you what, I'm not going to use her anymore. Yeah. I went, see, they were supposed to send me stuff last night so I could send it to my, yesterday afternoon. And they said, yeah, we'll do it before we leave today. Well, they didn't send it to me. And so this morning I just drove down to the office 20 miles, and she's not even there today. She's at the doctor's office all day.
Right.
And her two people that work in there, they were there, and they weren't real friendly. And I asked them, well, do you have the stuff? They gave me the stuff. And so then I took it and worked it myself. And so I'm going to be in there in the morning as soon as they open.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have a little conversation with her. I was supposed to go to Denver because I'm supposed to move out of my apartment. This weekend. And, so I'm going to stay. I got to get this thing done.
Yeah.
Just got to get it done. I don't know.
Fly out here and play in the snow with us.
Is it snowing?
Yes, sir. Right now.
I don't want to live there anymore. I grew up in Kansas when I was a kid. And we had to scoop snow by hand. I hate it. I love it in the. Well, I told you that before. I love it in the mountains. I love to see it on the mountaintops.
Yep.
And that's it.
It's supposed to be 70 on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Colorado's crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, my guy,
I
might get closed. I'm hoping I'll get closed this week, this coming week. And I called my guy just a minute ago, and we're going to extend it another week on the closing.
Yeah.
But that'll be the third time, and after that, it probably gets pretty iffy.
Are you gonna change attorneys then tomorrow?
No, I'm going to try and stay with her until I get it done, depending on her attitude.
Because,
I mean,
Yeah,
if you change in the middle of the stream, that's even going to make it worse.
Yeah, I would think so. See if you can ride out the storm and just get it to the closing.
Yeah, that's
well, that's
what
that's positive, and it sounds like he's still local there, right? Which is good. You know,
down in
Europe or something.
Well, Michael, you know, what's strange is I've done enough record searches over the years. I've done it for years, and. A lot, and sometimes you find two records of two different people that show the same information.
Right.
So, but I think this has enough on it, and that we're pretty sure it's the guy. I'm 90% sure it's the guy. But it shows he lives in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right.
But it says he works here, so that don't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Unless there's, so who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Well, hopefully it's
then
right.
Then I got another one, this new guy, and I'm going to fire my first gal. She just doesn't get it. She's hard up for money. She's complaining about the leads, complaining about everything, and I just don't want to hear it. and I'm going to let her go. But the other guy, he got a deal yesterday, and I talked to the guy. Got 9 houses. Wants to sell them all.
Love it.
And so he's supposed to. He was supposed to send me the list last night, but he's he's an HVAC guy. So, you know, they're busy. And I tried to call him a minute ago because I got busy. I got to call him tomorrow. And when
does
I do get to Denver.
Does it sound like he'll be reasonable in pricing?
You know, I don't know. But
the thing is, I think
he says he's got people. He doesn't want me to go see the people right now, which I said, that's not a problem. I said, and he said, most of my people have been with me 8 or 10 years.
Right.
And one of the houses is a brick house, you know.
Are they all tenant occupied?
Every one of them.
Okay. Nice.
So that would be a big plus. The only thing is, if I do get him under contract, what would you do? Put him, I'd think you'd need 60 to 90 days to put that together, wouldn't you? Would you?
Yeah, Rob, unless you have a buyer that said, I'll buy a tape and you know exactly what they want, he puts them one contract on each house and just handles them all separate. You ought to get the word that you're looking for multi-deal buyers. Anybody looking for to buy a pack of 9, all tenant occupied.
Yeah.
But.
Because he wants to sell them all. He wants to sell them all together.
Yeah. I think in your explanation, most of the buyers, during your full disclosure, most of the buyers I work with, are looking to buy one here, a couple there. So I don't know that I can get them all moved to the same buyer, but, just explain that you think you can get a move. So, and then get the word out. You'll have people that are buying.
Yeah.
That'll take that whole pack for sure.
Well, I'll see what I can do on that. And then I'm working on a couple other deals, but nothing.
So how long was new guy on the phone before he tied this one up? I got the conversation for you. You just brought him on, didn't you?
Yeah, I just brought him on. He's gotten two deals we're talking to.
Yeah.
He's only called a few times because he's a commercial real estate guy or a commercial mortgage guy, and he's working that too. But I've got another guy.
He's a part-timer.
I'm going to put another guy. Yeah.
Okay.
He said he wants to be full-time, but I just got to get more people on phones, and I'm going to start doing it myself. Just let me say one other thing, and I got my ACT database up, and I want to, when I get to Denver the next week or so, I want to show it to your guys. I'd like to, because if you guys would ever consider changing yours just a little bit, it could be super for the salespeople.
Yeah, you'll have to show it to me or shoot me a video on it. Our guys are East Coast in Canada.
Are they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to show it to you.
The tech team's remote.
Okay.
Tech team's remote. Yep.
It's just, and I've transferred, I could load all the FreedomSoft stuff over. The only problem I'm having is with the text files. It won't load the information. And I think it's because probably the text file.
Which one won't load? FreedomSoft or the?
The FreedomSoft. It won't load the information from the FreedomSoft notes section into, because it's a text file or a text field.
Oh, gotcha.
Text field.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's the wrong type, because I changed mine because on FreedomSoft, they weren't scrolling. And so I did change them to where they scroll, but it's not loading. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to work on it.
Yeah, hard to say.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's not sure.
That's all I got.
Hal, good update. So a couple things. You've been talking about letting the first salesperson go for a while now. When's that going to happen officially?
Probably, she's the one that gets paid on this deal.
Right.
And I think I'm waiting until I close on the deal, and then I'm going to let her go. She's not doing anything anyway. And it's just her attitude, and I just want to put up with it, you know?
Yeah, no, you shouldn't have to. I mean, you got to surround yourself with great people, and it'll be fun to work.
That was my problem for 2.5-3 years with my general contractor, and he caused me a lot of trouble. And the funny part is, see, I sent her – originally, I gave her the agreement, how she was going to get paid when I met with her. And then she didn't send it back, didn't send it back. Well, now she sent it back the other day, and I haven't really had time to mess with it. And I would never cheat her. And then this morning she calls me, are you going to send that back to me? I think she's thinking that I'm going to close this deal, not pay her. I would never do that.
Right.
But it's
right.
The whole idea, I just don't need the problem with somebody. If they can't have faith, I don't even want to do business with them.
Yep. Yeah, that makes sense if you're keeping around for that reason. You could still probably cut the tie and say, I would never not pay you. I was just wondering why, you know, your gut said make a change a while ago. So that's when it needs to happen. But that makes sense if you've got this closing that should have been to the table by now just with this title issue. So cool.
Yeah,
good stuff. Yeah. Get, you know, the magic is get somebody on the phone consistently with these leads. And I know you know that. So stay on it until you have. You know, part-timers are good, but somebody that can commit some hours is what it's going to take.
Well, and that's what, it's like everybody else saying learning. I'm going to go back, and whoever I hire now, this last guy said, can you give me 3 to 5 hours? He said, yeah, well, he's not doing it, but he is making some progress. And he told me today, well, I've been working on a couple mortgage deals, and so I'm about ready to do it. Well, I don't want to hear that, you know.
Yeah, your gig is still secondary in his mind.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to know. And then you need to decide, am I okay being secondary in this scenario, or does that not work? If you want to keep somebody around like that in the meantime, maybe. But it's amazing when you get full-time effort going towards these leads. You'll go from 1 to 5 to, if you keep your foot on the gas, to 10 contracts. And you'll see it in usually a relatively short amount of time. So,
what do your guys do when, like, a bunch of my leads, they don't answer? Their phone rings, and the second time they call, they leave a message, and people don't call back. What would you do?
Send them
a mailing?
Send them a letter. Yep.
Send them a letter. Okay.
You got it.
All right. Sounds good.
Yep. Yeah, if they're just not going to respond, go to direct mail.
Okay.
Good stuff. Who else is with us? Questions enough.
Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Good. You?
Oh, well.
You're fantastic. I'll answer for you. What's going on?
Interesting day or two. I've had a flood in my basement. My water heater crapped out, so.
That's not good.
I have a swimming pool downstairs, and I have no hot water. So.
Other than that.
Other than that, I got a guy that seems pretty keen. Met with him, got him going. He couldn't get in. I forgot about the campaign permissions for a couple hours, but then I remembered. And so he started, and then he commandeered the color coding and used it for his own purposes. Because I didn't say we had a particular color coding, and that's fine with me. Whatever works, it's going to work. It's pretty much the same kind of thing that I would do, just different colors. And if it helps him, that's fine. I mean, basically green is we've got contact, and everything else he can use is for himself. Doesn't matter. It's all about if it's a hot lead, if it's a whatever. So he seems pretty into it. And so there you go. Now, I got a question. This is a quick Freedom Soft question. What I wanted to do is, because I have another couple of people, at least one that wants to do it, and I just want to test them out because I don't want to just
trust
them.
They want to do what, sales?
Yeah. I want to test them out and see who's killing it and who isn't, because I don't want to just rely on one person. And the last time I had a guy, I gave him like 5 leads. To see what he would do with just those 5 leads, which he did nothing. But I took them from my leads for a certain zip code, and I labeled them, Chris's leads, right?
Okay.
5.
Yep.
I can't for the life of me figure out how I did that, or how I can put them back into the general pool, or how I can do it for another person. Or once I make that category, how I can get rid of that category and put those back into the big, Jimmy's leads thing.
Right. You can just rename the campaign and adjust the permissions if you want. That's one way. So if you have a new salesperson and there are five sitting there, and, you know, the former person is gone and the new one comes in, you give them permission, just change the name of the campaign, which you can just click on it when you're on the campaign screen, update the name, change the permissions, and just let it be. So that's one way.
Okay.
Right? That's probably the easiest way. You can go in and delete that campaign if you want and start over. But if you have somebody that you're going to roll in, just do that. Just rename it and swap permissions.
If I delete the campaign, that kills the leads too?
That is a question that I don't think so.
It but goes in the
ask,
trash.
I'm going to it does. I'm going to ask before I give you a final answer. And then if you clear
I put it in archive, but it stays in that campaign. I didn't put it in trash.
Yeah, archive and trash are different.
Right. I think
archive
what I might have done before is put it in trash, and then I could move that trash to someplace else. I think that's what I might have done. Okay.
So
chime in real quick?
Yeah.
It's Tommy.
Hey, Tommy.
I just have an answer for that because I've done it. They're not going to go away. They will stay in that main campaign unless you delete them out of that main campaign.
So you just delete the campaign is my thought, and you should be fine.
Yeah. And if you want to be safe, what you can do is go through and highlight them and then just move and go back to that campaign and put them back in that main campaign. But it's not going to make any difference because they're already there. But if it makes you feel better, because that's initially what I started doing because I didn't want to take chance losing them. So I just delete it and they'll go away. But they always stay in that main campaign, always. They'll just tell, like initially it'll say, you said Jerry. I think that's what you said. It'll initially say Jerry, but then say you moved it to Ray. For Ray to work, those five leads, it'll say Ray's leads until you go in and change them to that new campaign. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but they're not duplicated. So if I say Ray has those five leads, they're not. Somebody else can't call the same people. That would get too confusing. So.
Right. Not until you change. Right. Not unless you give them to that campaign. Yeah. So I hope that helps.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Tom. You don't want to delete the leads. Because if you delete the leads, it deletes them from the source campaign because they're just really visible in two places. So just get rid of the campaign.
Right.
Now that the archive word came up, archive leads are held, but they do not or they continue to count towards the stats of that campaign. So it's like maybe a closed lead, and then you can just move it to archive. If you move them to the trash, it's like a temporary holding before they get permanently deleted, and it removes the stats from the campaign. So just if anybody was curious, the difference.
Okay. All right. Well, then
way to
in,
be.
In doing
way to be,
that,
Tommy.
Hey,
way to chime
way
in.
To go. So, yeah, like, so that's what's going on with me. We'll see what happens.
How much time can your new guy commit to making calls?
Oh, he said not too much, like 30 or 40 hours.
He's full-time at it?
He is. Well, he has another job, but he wants so badly out of that. He's feathering out of that. He could do 30 or 40 hours during the week, the work week, and a bunch during Saturday and Sunday too.
That's awesome.
You know, he's motivated.
Tom, how many leads do you have to feed this machine?
Not that many. That's the thing. I was looking at it, and because of my horrendous skills with this FreedomSoft, I realized that I have way fewer than I thought. And to my chagrin, I thought I had a bunch that were skip traced. I could have swear they were skip traced. And I look at a bunch of these. There are like 100 of them, and I don't see anything. So I don't. I got to go back to Upwork and talk to my VA and say where did those go. And what's going on?
Well, yeah, Bird Dogs and Upwork. If you've got a sharp salesperson that's committed, your job obviously now is to feed that person, and then you've got to be out ahead
sell
of it
some.
With buyer conversations.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. I know. The whole thing changes dramatically. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, holy crap, I got to start feeding this. I need more firewood, man.
Yeah.
And then I need to sell some once he gets them under contract. Well, he's right now he's going to send me the motivated leads. He's not going to start doing that. But he is
right.
In the
that's perfect.
Business.
That's what he should be
he's
doing.
He's in the mortgage business, so he knows he knows a lot of this stuff. He was following along right along, and he was asking me some really good questions, which I don't have to ask you. I was gonna ask you, but everything's gotten kind of cattywampus with my indoor swimming pool.
He was asking super intelligent
questions.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'll send you those. I'll send you those because I couldn't answer those questions. But I was like,
okay.
One of them was like he wanted to do a drip campaign, and we can do those. I made on status, you know, it says skip trace call, whatever. One of my status things is follow up in 3 months and follow up in 6 months. He was like, well, what about the dead leads? I want to put those on a drip campaign because you never know. And so I figured, we can do that. I need to figure that out. That's lower priority than getting more leads for him.
It is. That's exactly it. You keep him focused. Step one, you can figure all that out. Step one is get a couple deals under contract and get them to the closing table. And you can, you can come in and build more systems and that kind of thing, but keep him focused on that and say, yep, we're going to do all that, but let's get some appointments set. Let's get some paperwork signed and let's get to the closing table. So it's all good stuff.
Right. He's super psyched. He's extremely psyched. And, it's gotten me pretty stoked. So,
yep, should be good. Good luck with the basement as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, hey, they have those yellow ducky floaty things on sale on Amazon. I saw today. If you want to have a little fun down there before you get it all cleaned
up. Perfect, excellent. Yep. Yeah, along with a moldy carpet. Nice.
Yeah, beautiful. All right, who else? I know Tommy's on because you chimed in. Who else is with us?
Malik here.
Hey, Malik.
How's it going?
Good, man. I'm looking. Tell me where you're at.
I got a deal accepted today, so I went ahead and shot her email, and the hard copy is in the mail as well. So hopefully next week I'll get the contract back, and then we can go ahead and flip it to one of those buyers I found.
So you have a verbal?
I have a verbal, yeah.
Okay, tell us the numbers. What do you have it for?
I have it for $30,000. Comps are coming out about $85,000.
Is it a flip or a rental?
A rental. It can be a flip, but she said there's no work needed. I don't go by that anymore, so
yeah.
we're gonna see once. What I actually want to do, I have bird dogs, so I want the bird dog to go take a look at the house, and then
that's
we
it.
Can go from
we pay
there.
Him a. Here's the thing. We pay him a. Watch this. Everybody pay attention to this. When you send somebody to a house, and typically a bird dog, that's the perfect person to send. Obviously, get permission to get somebody from your team in there. Video's better. They need to hold their phone sideways so it doesn't look like a tall, skinny video when you watch it, right? You got to tell people that or they forget. Hold it sideways, and they have to pan slow or you can't see anything. They've got to do like a walk up, walk through, walk around, and here's the key through the videos. And Rob doesn't even pay. He pays between $25 and $35, depending on how far they need to drive to go shoot this video. Here's the key. You have to tell them to narrate what they see, and you want to know what do you feel and what do you smell. And I'm telling you, those are the two key words. And here's what's funny about what Rob does. If the video comes back and they did not talk about what they feel and what they smell, they don't get paid. They got to go redo it. Because think about this: what you feel, squishy floors, a lot of creaking. I feel creepy. I feel really uncomfortable. That's going to give you what you can't sense in the video if you're there in person, right? And then the other thing is smell. And obviously, a lot of these houses stink, but some of them smell like cat urine, which is either cats or meth. You want to know that because they both smell the same or similar. Mold has a smell to it. You want to know what, right, through the video, have them translate their experience as much as they can. And if you just hired a bird dog and they're not snapping photos, they have no idea what you're looking for. That's what I'm telling you because you need to explain this when you send them.
Okay. All right, great info. I appreciate that. I'm going to definitely have him do all of that. Feel and smell.
Feel and smell. What is, so you got it for 30. What does this thing rent for?
It rents for between $850 to to about $900 a month.
$850 to $9. So what do you think you're going to mark it up and sell it for? And what are you assuming it needs how much in work? 37?
Yeah, I'm assuming it needs about maybe 8 to 10 in work.
Okay, so I buy it for 37. I've got another 10 in. I'm at 47. And you said it rents $850 to $9?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go worst case scenario. So $850 a month times 70%, $595. Times 12 in the first year, $7,140, just over $7,000 net rental income. And we're all in for 37, my price, if I bought right, if I'm the end buyer, 10 to fix it, 47.
Yeah.
Let's call it, well, I mean, we can round up nice even number to 50 if we want with a little bit in closing costs. So divided by 50,000, 14.3%. So it's a solid little rental.
All right.
And then you think it can also work as a flip and retail up around 85?
Yeah.
Okay. So somebody, what I'm thinking here is, so let's run those. Let's say you sell it to me 37. Rental grade flips probably a little bit more. So let's call it 15. 37,000 plus 15 grand, right, following along, 52,000. You've got carrying costs of money, that kind of thing. And my gut is at 85, if I can sell it to a cash buyer, but retail, that's pretty rare, it probably works. If there are agents involved here, my guess is this gets pretty tight. So let's say,
yeah.
I mean, you could pay like a, you know, one of those companies like $1,500 to get it in the MLS or something. But if somebody comes to the table, 85,000, let's go worst case, 6% to pay agents. So that's 5,100. So now we're down to 80. Minus 53 is 27 plus, and that's not accounting for carrying costs and interest. That's tight as a flip.
As a flip, okay.
Yep. Which, you know, that when you were spitting out those numbers, 30 to 85 with, you know, fix up still, carrying costs, paying agents, holding it for 2, 3, 4 months, however long it takes to get it fixed up and moved. That's tight. Kind of rule of thumb for a fix and flip investor is they got to be making $25,000 because construction can go sideways real quick. So you can't run your numbers and say, oh, I'm going to make 15 and then move forward. That doesn't make sense just because of what can happen when you open up a house. And so, and I'm not taking into consideration, I'm only counting for 6% agents. This has nothing to do with borrowed money, carrying costs, right? While I own it, I got to pay utilities. I got to mow the grass, that kind of stuff. So this one's tight. If somebody could come in and do it cash, and maybe, you know, maybe they were the real estate agent. So worst case scenario, they pay a buyer's agent 2.8%. I could see a scenario where this might be an okay flip, but this is where you got to know how to run both ways so that you get your messaging right. You don't want to blast this thing out and say fantastic fix and flip, because then if I'm on your buyer's list and I run your numbers, I say Malik doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. This is tight. So it's okay to, you know, to put it out there as a, this is a great rental. It can be an okay flip for the right buyer. So, you know, let's talk that through. You gotta be having your own money so you're not paying interest. And like I said, you know, how are you gonna list the house? Are you gonna pay an agent or are you licensed or what does that look like? So, but yeah, I'd call this a better buy and hold, especially if it's in good shape. Cause that means,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That means somebody can pick it up, put very little into it, 5 to 10. They'll have that thing back on the market and ready in 3 to 4 weeks, which is perfect.
All right.
So here's the other option. You know, some of you may be in the market to do this now or at some point in the future. But when looking at this, another option, and this is what Rob does in Memphis, they'll buy it, fix it up, put a renter in it, sell it turnkey. How do you evaluate that? So rule of thumbs, you guys, if if the place is rent ready, it's in good shape, and there's a tenant already in place, the rule of thumb acceptable rate of return for a buyer to take that is 8 to 12%, you know, 10 to 12 on the better side because they don't have to do any work. If you're – now, Malik, what you're talking about is selling a rental that needs a little work. So if I'm your end buyer, I got to put a little work into it and then find the tenant. There's a little more work for me, the end buyer, involved. I want to see those numbers 14, 16, 18%. And we just ran it, and it was 14.3.
Right.
So it's right in that wheelhouse. But what I'm saying is another option here is, Malik, you buy it, so you can still pay yourself a wholesale fee, right? You just have to have two entities, so you can still get paid up front. You put in the money to reno, then you sell it. Now, if you can sell it at a 10 to 12%, here's how we run that math. So we still have our same, our anchor is still the 850 because that's what it rents for, right? So 850 times 70%, 595, times 12, 7140, first year. Now, if you have an end buyer that says, I buy turnkey rentals at, I'm looking for a 10% rate of return, divided by 0.1, they could pay 714 for that house. Tenant in place. Now, that's a pretty intriguing number, seeing as how you have it for 30. This is how Rob creates spread in Memphis all day long. They buy it, they renovate it, they put the tenant in place, then they go to their buyers list who will take that that 10% rate of return right out of the gate, rent ready. And now look at that number, because let's do the math here. Call it 70 grand. You have it for 30, wholesale it to yourself, you've made 7, right? So now you're into it for 37,000. You put another 10,000 in to fix it up. Now you're all in at 47, but you've already put 7 in your pocket. You've got a little bit of carrying costs and some other stuff to hold it while you rent it. But now you sell it for 70, and you're still going to sell it without agents because you're going to sell it to a cash investor turnkey buyer. That's another 23 grand, and you already put 7 in your pocket. It's a $30,000 deal.
Okay.
Makes sense? Everybody following that, what I just did there?
Yeah.
That'd be a little easier on a webinar with a screen, but I want to show you where – this is why when you're a wholesaler, you control the deal, and it's exactly where you want to sit. Because, like I was saying, whether you're in that position now to either buy it with your own money or, Rob uses private money. So Rob and Brad could pay cash for these things, but they don't. They use private money. They just OPM, other people's money all day long. So they don't have any of their own capital tied up in these. So they buy the deal. This is a classic deal that they would buy. They buy the deal for 30 grand. They wholesale it to their renovation, their construction company. They just put 7 in their pocket. Now they have a project manager who's running everything for them, right? If you're curious, he's on a $500 a week base. And $1,000 per deal at closing. That's how they pay him. He runs all their construction. Okay? So now they go fix the place up, and they're using private money to buy it for $37,000. The construction company is the borrower, buys it on an assignment from the acquisitions company. I want to make sure everybody's following this because this is Malik, you opened up a cool deal here where I just want to show you what he's doing for a second. Everybody still with me? I'm going to assume yes unless I hear questions.
Yes. So I have a question real quick, Mike. What's the point? What's the point on charging yourself? I mean, it nets the same. Is that just for the commissions
cash
for
flow.
The salespeople and stuff?
Yep. It pays the salespeople, and cash flow is king in any business. So it creates timing of, right, you can get paid at closing, and that's your money. That's the company's money. Put it in your pocket. Whether you're selling houses or widgets, you got to have cash flow. And so bring the money in.
Yep. Okay, but it's at the expense of your other company that's buying it. So it just seems like it's just, it doesn't matter.
And like you said, it pays the salespeople, and that's what keeps them working, and they're the ones feeding the whole thing. So, yeah, great question. Yep. Right. What it allows you to do, this deal makes, in a perfect scenario, makes X amount of money. You can control when some of that money shows up. That's what it does. so you don't have to wait till the end to get it off.
All right. Now, Mike, I've seen this before in one of his it's either his high equity training course he has or the private money course. It's one of those two I saw this on that he was going over. I can't remember which one, but I'll go back and review it and definitely follow that structure. Now, another question I have, now that you mentioned this, when I was in California doing my wholesaling out there, whenever I marketed to absentee owners, 100% of my deals I got were already had tenants in them. Now, instead of just focusing on vacant property, should I open up my marketing and start marketing to absentee owners? Because I'm pretty sure I'll get a lot of deals like that where they already have tenants and property and they just want to get rid of it.
Here's the thing. If you have the bandwidth, right, this is a specific answer for Malik. I want your focus still to be on vacants because we have to generate cash. If you have a method and a location and you know how to do it and you can plug it in and not miss a beat with what we're doing in the program, fire it up, right?
Okay.
But for everybody else, stay focused on where you're at. Malik, all of you come to the table with different things in place, different experiences, that kind of stuff. So that's why I want to be really clear here, Malik. If you have the bandwidth to take it on and to not drop the ball on anything that you're doing around vacants, because we're still, you've got a verbal, but we still don't have 5 deals under contract, 10 deals under contract with the vacants. So I don't want you to lose any momentum or focus there. If that's possible, yes. If it's not, keep it on the back burner, get the vacant leads working, and then bring it in here in the near future.
Okay, I'll definitely keep that.
So who made the phone call that found this deal that you got the verbal on? Salesperson?
Actually, my VA, she did. She was skip tracing, and of course she called to verify, and that's when we got the deal. And my salesperson didn't even, when he called, she said, no, I already spoke to somebody else. It's an older lady. She didn't even want to talk to him. So he called me confused. Yeah, he called me confused. I'm like, hold on. Let me ask my VA to call her back, and then maybe that's who she's talking to. So my VA called back, and then she got the contract. I said, well, the money goes to the VA.
Crack me up. So
she made the initial contact with the lady.
Who do you have on the phone consistently, and how many hours are they putting in?
I'm honestly, my VA is doing a lot of calling with the skip tracing, and my sales guy, I'm pretty, me and him are done because he hasn't had any deal. I even gave him full access. I gave him full access because he's having a very difficult time with Freedom's Talk. So I was like, okay, here, you have full access. You see what I see. Now you can see all my leads. And, you know, go ahead and work them. And he's still like, well, which one do you want me to do? I said, every single one of them, and nothing has been done.
Yeah, wrong person. So it sounds like your VA is maybe a temporary solution, but we've got to get somebody else in that seat.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to put that out first thing in the morning.
Okay.
That way I can go ahead and talk to somebody.
I can live with first thing in the morning, but if you have time, put it out tonight.
Tonight? All right. I can do it tonight. I got time.
Okay. No time like the present.
Tonight. Absolutely.
Yeah, great update. I want to, when are you expecting the signed paperwork back, the physical copy? What day?
Physical, I'm expecting it back on at least Wednesday, latest Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, make sure that that's communicated really clear because your hands are really tied from a marketing standpoint. Now, I still want you on the phone with your buyers and say, hey, I got one, I have one coming. Here's the zip code. I can't give you the address yet. Here's what they're telling me it needs. I haven't seen the inside, but based on this, does this fit your mold? First come, first serve. Say I expect the contract here in the next, in the next couple days. So you can still be moving that thing. Don't talk address, obviously, until you have paperwork in hand.
All right. I'll start making calls as soon as I get home tonight.
Tell them you've got a contract for sale coming, and here's what it looks like. See if you can't even get a buyer in place, like a verbal commitment from a buyer before you even have paperwork.
Okay.
So, the other thing that I want to speak to on that is, sometimes you have to be flexible with when people can get stuff back to you, right? I think you said this is an elderly gal, so, you know, don't just assume you can send an email, do an e-sign, something like that. You may have to get creative on how to get that signature back, right? Send them to a local FedEx office or whatever. So jump through whatever hoops to make their life as easy as possible to get that signature. But at the same time, don't leave that conversation without a, okay, I'm sending you a hard copy. When can you get this back to me? And make sure that there's a commitment on their end. Okay, right? Okay, Malik, so just so I'm hearing you correctly, I'm going to have the paperwork back in hand by 5 o'clock on the 28th. Am I hearing you right? Okay. So when you reiterate it like that, right, you're putting a commitment on their end that they said they're going to come through on. Because at the end of the day, you're not under contract until you have that sucker in hand, obviously. So you have to work with their scenario, but don't give them 10 days to get that thing back to you. Put a deadline on it and make that happen as quickly as possible so that you can go to work and find your buyer. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, anything else? It's a good update.
That's it for now.
Here's the thing, man. In the next 2 weeks, I want five more.
You got it.
Contract, right? I mean, let's figure this out, and let's go from this speed to a run. Let's start to jog and run, because it's the same process. You saw when you put somebody on the phone with these leads, contracts happen. That's what everybody experiences. So
yep.
We have to get, right, we have to just be relentless about leads coming in and getting a good person on the phone. And if you have to go through 3, 4, 5, 10, it doesn't matter. But when you match those two together, things really start to move.
Exactly. So, I'm ready, man. You know something is not for you. At my corporate America job, I make 6 figures, but I still want to leave. It's not for me. So that's
right.
How you know something else
I
is
get
for
it.
You.
So in order to replace that, you have to put on the board and look at every day in your car and your mirror in the morning, X number of deals under contract at all times, whatever it takes. And for some of you,
yeah,
that's 2. For some, it's 5. For some, it's 10. Right? Assume about 7,500 bucks per. It's pretty reasonable from a wholesale standpoint. You'll close some for more. You'll close some for less. But if you can average 7, how many contracts, right? How many do you need to close each month? And then how many contracts do you need on a rolling basis, right? I talk about it a lot. Rob and Brad are at a, 15 to 25 contracts moving at a time, depending on where they're at and how many are closed and how many they got tied up, right? They had 10. I was on a plane with Rob a couple days ago, and they put 10 new ones under contract last week. So, 2 per business day. You just have to figure out, Where do I want to be? Where do I need to be? How many contracts does that equate to? And then how many offers do we need to be making? And to get with this level of leads, with these vacant leads and a decent job skip tracing, to be having multiple conversations a day, to be making offers on a daily basis, and to getting a verbal on a daily basis is closer than it probably feels. A contract, 5 contracts a week. Very, very, very doable. So, good update. Stay on it. I know you will.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Put right next to that, put like 3 or 4 reminders on why your corporate gig is so painful and why you never want to go back so you don't forget. Because here's the thing, you guys. Here's the thing. Pain is a more powerful motivator than pleasure. It's, right?
Yeah.
There's been 1,000 studies on it. There's been, thousands of studies. They only needed 1. We will do everything in our power to get away from pain. We'll do some things to move towards pleasure. So remind yourself of the pain. Inflate the pain, and it'll cause change, right? You're sitting in a wooden chair, and it gets uncomfortable to sit there. You move instantly. That's how we're wired. So amplify that pain, and it'll cause action. And Malik, you're taking action anyway. I just want you to add 20% more to it. 20 or 30%
more. I feel antsy. I'm like, I need to be doing more instead of just vacant. That's how I'm feeling.
Yep.
If I don't have enough leads from vacant, it's like, okay, what can I do today? Because I didn't get enough leads, so I need to be doing something because
you never shut off leads, and you've got to have a good salesperson. It is the it's the key piece when you put those two together. And the thing is, right, like we talk about, it doesn't matter if it's you or somebody else, but somebody has to be consistently on the phone calling your leads. And it's gonna
be me until I find somebody I can trust. Because I can't trust them, I'm just losing my leads right now. So
that's
I'm
it.
Just
you
gonna
gotta,
go ahead and sit through everything until I find somebody that I can trust, and then we can go from there.
Yep. As business owner, you're gonna wear all the hats for different seasons, right? But you can't say, right. I don't have a salesperson right now. These leads aren't getting worked. That doesn't cut it. You got to carve out some time until you get somebody else on. Keep the momentum going. Because momentum, it's hard to build. It's easy to maintain, right? So let's get it let's get it going. All right. Who else?
Mike, this is Dahlia. I just have a quick update for you.
Yeah.
So I have VA skip tracing all my leads, and I actually found a salesperson that's starting Monday.
Yep.
Nice. So that's really good. So we're going to get things moving here on Monday. But the part that I'm still struggling with is bird dogs. And I've been posting ads every other day, and I've had people contacting me. Like, at least, I'm going to say every time I post, at least 3 to 5 people answer me. I call them back, send them the email, and follow up. But I still haven't had any bird dogs send me new leads.
Yep. Yeah, I'm telling you, I would guess you're not doing anything wrong. I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen your ads. I tell you what, send me the link to one of your ads, the latest one you posted. Let me look at it. Send it into the Success Team coaching email. Let me take a look at it. Offer bonuses. But I'm telling you that from time to time, somebody will get stuck on this piece, and it just stay with it. I get it. It's frustrating. People don't want to drive. Maybe switch up the ad. Maybe switch up where you're posting it. Are you putting it in gigs, sales, or real estate in Craigslist?
I'm pulling it in gigs.
Okay. Hey, I was just thinking about this the other day. I was talking to somebody, same thing. How do I find a bird dog? How do I find a bird dog? Maybe a college kid. I don't even know. I was thinking about it. Hey, you get somebody that just every college kid needs money. They all have a cell phone. They know how to use them, and they have cars, right? And they all are broke, right? So you probably get, even if somebody drives for you, like Thursday and Friday afternoon so that they have beer money on Friday night. It doesn't really matter what the reason is, but see if there's like a college posting job board or something like that, and see what you can tap into. You just have to jump online, get creative. But I was thinking that every college kid in the country needs more. I mean, there are a handful, right, that don't, but for the most part, they're trying to figure out, how am I going to eat tomorrow? And this is a great way to generate quick money. And they can go out, and it's realistic to find 8 to 12 an hour. So that's, high 20 to mid $30 an hour to go drive around and shoot photos. I mean, it doesn't get easier than that. So send me your ad. Let me take a look at it and stay with it. I get it. It can drive you nuts. It has a handful of people in the group, and it just, for whatever reason. The other thing, you can look up Uber drivers online and have them drive when they have downtime, Uber and Lyft. I know Gary, he took a little break from our group. He'll be back, but he and his wife are moving from Hawaii to Florida, which is a big process. So he found a landscaper down in Texas that was driving around mowing yards, and he said, hey, you're driving through these neighborhoods. You see a vacant house, pull over and send me a picture of that sucker with a photo. And, he said, this will cover your gas money moving around. Mm-hmm. So people that, he just got creative. People that were moving through the city anyway, he just tapped into them and said, send this over. And that person, I think of, of everybody we've worked with, Gary probably had the most success generating leads. He went to 1,500 vacants in not very much time. I mean, this group was just out there sending leads in left and right. So, but yeah, if stay consistent with Craigslist, and then if you need to get a little bit creative, start looking other places.
Okay.
But send me
that.
Send me
a
link to your ad. Let me read it quick. What's that?
I said I have a couple ads because I've tried posting different things just to test it. So I'll send you a couple.
Yeah, send me if you have a couple links, send them over, and I'll tell you. I'll give you feedback and tell you which one I like the best.
Okay.
At the end of the day, though, Dahlia, there isn't a magic formula. It's really stick with it. You get hung up from time to time, but stay with it. You'll find, all it takes is one. You find one person that's willing to go, and that's all it can take sometimes. So stay with it.
Okay. Thank you, Mike.
And I'll watch for that email, yep. Who else?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Mike, it's Clark.
Hey, Clark.
Yeah, on the same topic there, I'm trying to find bird dogs. And I find that some of them are trying to drive a hard bargain. I mean, I said $4 for a lead, and she came back and she said, I want 10 for gas and stuff. I'm just finding that maybe $3 or $4 isn't enough. I mean, I don't know if I do that.
$3 to $4 should be fine. 10 a lead for this is too much. If you were in a market like Denver where there are only a handful of vacants and somebody's really going to drive and work, you'd have to pay more. But if you've got a lot of vacants
really motivated
around there.
She's kind of really motivated. And she's in a business where she's going to see a lot because she's kind of like does demo and cleanup. But
here's one of the things. Say, I can't pay 10, but I can do bonuses. I can do 4 as a base, and then I can bonus in for certain, certain numbers hit for a day or hit for a week.
I already
want
that.
I
offered her 6 with a $25 bonus after the first 10 leads, and then we'll go from there. And she came back and said, give me 8 plus 25. And so she's hard bargain. I got to let her go.
Yep, somebody else. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing. If this was a specialty skill, you'd have to pay for it. It's not. Anybody with a phone in a car can do it. So keep clicking.
But I've got others responding, and they say they're going to do it. So I sent them the link to my campaigns under their name, but they haven't produced anything yet. So I'm kind of giving away the good zip codes to these guys that haven't produced anything yet. I don't know if I want to, how long do I give them before?
Yeah, as soon as you find somebody that's willing to go, they win. And if you have to turn off campaigns or cut other people out or do whatever you have to do, but this is first come, first serve. So whoever shows up, that's who gets the zip code to go to and starts driving. So here's the thing. Somebody telling you they'll do it isn't good enough. You have to say, can you drive for me today? If yes, right, how much time can you give me? Can you give me 60 minutes? And you've got to say, I want to prove to you that I'm going to get you paid. This is legit, right? We do it all the time. So can you give me an hour tonight, and I'm going to PayPal you as soon as, right? I'm going to see the leads as they're coming in. So you text me or just say, can you get me 10 leads today? Can you go out right now and get me 10 leads? And I need your PayPal email. I'll confirm that they're in, and I'll get you paid to show you that I'm serious. Can you give me 45 minutes today? So that first barrier is you're trying to figure out if they're serious. They're trying to figure out if you're serious. And so eliminate that for them and say, let's go. Don't ever pay somebody before leads have come in, but make sure they're clear on, can you get me 5? Get me something, and I'll send payment over right now, tonight. So.
Okay. I need to call and talk to them by the phone. So far, I've just been emailing them. I gotta get a little more
You have to go phone. You have to go phone. I'm glad you said that. Because those are some of the nuances. Somebody replies to your ad and says, I'm interested with a phone number, call them. Don't email them.
Yeah.
Call them. They need to hear in your voice that you need leads now and that you're dead serious about paying. And the only way that'll come through, there's no tone in an email. I mean, there can be, but it may not be the right one. So you've got to get them on the phone.
Good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dolly, I'm not sure what your process is either, but you have to go. If somebody replies to your ad, you go right to phone call. And if you text, you're only texting about, hey, I'm going to call you at 7. Does that work? That's it. You have to go to phone call. Anything else, Clark?
No, that's enough to get me going here. Thanks.
Okay, beautiful. Yep. Who else?
Mike, it's Larry.
Hey, Larry.
So I finally got somebody today to drive and got 23 houses already today, so that was a good jump start for me.
Absolutely.
I'm on the same as Clark and the other one as far as going through a lot of people and
yep.
no one delivering. And
it only takes one.
Yeah, exactly. She thought it was a scam, so I said, go take a picture of your neighbor's house and send it to me, and I'll send you $3 right now.
I love it.
She's okay. I'm in now, so she's...
Hey, that's one I haven't thought of. I like that. Go walk outside, take a photo of anything, send it to this email address, and I'll pay you right now. I love it.
So cool. She got started this morning, got me 23, so which is a good thing, so she's happy. I just paid her again today for her
Absolutely.
Drive.
Nice. That's killer.
So
I'm going to use that, and I'm going to start teaching that, too. That's awesome.
So that was
an idea.
Say hey, shoot a picture of the floor you're standing on. Send it to this email address. And what's your PayPal?
Exactly. Well, I just told her invoice me for $3 and I'll pay you. So.
I love it. Cool.
But,
yeah, can she drive again tomorrow?
Yeah, she says she's going to do this all the time now. I didn't talk to her today, but she made $70 today just driving. So.
Right. And I bet it didn't take very long.
No.
She starts doing the math. Tell you what, this is like a kind of like a salesperson. We talk about it a lot. You get a rock star salesperson, do what it takes to keep them on board. You get a bird dog like this that can feed the engine and it's willing to go. Take care of them. I mean, you can throw a little, hey, bring me 50 tomorrow, and I'll throw in an extra, you know, your choice, $25, or, you know, tell me what your favorite restaurant is, and I'll order a gift card, mail it to your house. Just get creative. Because at the end of the day, watch this, $3 a lead is your base price. What if you're up to 4, 5, or 6, and then you pay a skip tracer, but they can do multiple an hour. So we add in another $1 or $2, and you're generating as good a leads as you can in real estate for $5, $6, $7 a lead. If you were to go buy these leads, you'd pay $25 to $50 a lead to $40 would be a realistic market price for a verifiable, this is the number to call. This person owns a vacant house. I mean, at least 15 to 20. And you're going to go generate them for $5, $6, $7 a piece. Let's put this little shot of perspective on this all day long. All day long,
okay.
you'd be willing to pay that. I mean, you go send a big old direct mail campaign and you get, a 3% response rate, 5 or 6 if you knock it out of the park. And to do it, you have to be really consistent, spend thousands of dollars. And then, right, there's nothing better than a vacant lead. A vacant lead has the highest probability that the owner wants to sell. So, you know, direct mail is Rob's second favorite because it's really effective.
Now that I got the lead. How do I get into an Excel sheet? Is everything got to be manually, or is there a way to download
things? No, leave them in FreedomSoft and just give your VA access to the campaign.
Okay.
Send them an invite to your account,
uh-huh.
to your FreedomSoft account, and then once they're in, you just have to click into that campaign where the leads are. This is your Bird Dogs campaign. Over on the right-hand side of that campaign screen, it says campaign permissions in bold black font. Click that open. There will be a drop-down list, and then you'll select your VA. And then when your VA logs in, you'll click My Campaigns. And then they'll be able to see all those leads, skip trace them, save the data. I sent you that Vimeo link the other day, right, Larry?
I don't know if I got a video. I just got more of a just to change my wording on the Craigslist app.
I don't remember
who
I sent
it to. You sent it to me, Clark.
Hey, Clark. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Email me into the coaching center and ask me for that VA training video.
Okay.
Thank you, Clark. I couldn't remember who I sent it to.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah,
no
don't
worries.
Leave everything in FreedomSoft. You want to confuse yourself. Start pulling leads out and then trying to put them back in and keep that all straight. That's a nightmare.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I feel better. I got that much going on one day. So.
Absolutely. That's a big deal. You have your VA lined up to skip trace? Do you have somebody hired, ready to go?
No, because this all happened so quick, so I'm going, okay, now I got to
okay.
go to the next school. So.
Yeah, you have to get your ad on Upwork today. And if you have to, I don't know what your schedule looks like tonight, but the training is in there on what to post. If you need to jump off here, that's fine, but get that posted tonight.
Okay.
Because a lot of folks who can do that for you are on the other side of the planet, and they're about to wake up here in a few hours and go to work and look online for some work, and so you can get replies tonight while you're sleeping.
Okay.
Yep.
Could you, Mark, this is Clark again.
Yeah.
What do we pay a VA for doing this?
Depends on what they have access
found,
to. Four to eight bucks an hour, 5 to 8 bucks an hour. I'm telling you, what I would do is in your ad, put that you are looking for a VA that has access to LexisNexis. LexisNexis.
Okay.
Based on really feedback from you all, and it started with Ben. I think I heard him jump on here a while ago, but Rob uses Intellius and PeopleSmart to skip trace. But from the data that we've collected with this group, my conclusion is that you get the best, the highest percentage of numbers from Lexis.
Okay.
And it's kind of known in the skip tracing world that Lexis and TLO are the best. TLO has really, really strict rules on what you can use it for, and you cannot use it for marketing. And so unless you want to lie on the application, which we would never coach you to do, it's not allowed for what we're trying to do. So that leaves Lexis. I think TLO will even send out a representative to see your office and your operation and double check. They're pretty strict about it. I believe it's TransUnion, the credit bureau. I believe it's their skip tracing arm. And I mean, they have boatloads of information on everybody because they're a credit bureau. So it's really good, but they're really specific about what you can and cannot use it for. So, yeah, you can put that into your Upwork ad. Say, ideally, I want somebody with LexisNexis access. You can also put, if you don't have Lexis, that doesn't mean you're out. Reply to this ad and let me know what you do have access to, which tools. And then they'll tell you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, get that posted ASAP. Who else? Hey, Ben, are you on? I thought I heard Ben chime in. About 40 minutes, a half hour ago. Maybe not. I was going to put him on the spot because he got his first wholesale deal to the table on Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember. So I was going to give him a group high five. So, Ben, if you're on, chime in. Which is, you know, that's a big deal. He didn't make a ton on it, but he got his first deal to the closing table. So that barrier is now officially removed forever, which is awesome. I was really excited about that. We're gonna record a little case study on it tomorrow, get some of the details. So great stuff. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Mike. I was just wondering if I could get Hale's email address because I think he's still working in the Atlanta area. So I actually made my first offer yesterday, but I got shot down.
I love it. That's awesome because now making another offer isn't as big a deal. How did you word it?
Well, basically, I just told him I did the analysis, and I just said determining, you know, kind of based on what he told me it would need. He said that the copper had gotten taken out of it, and
yeah, I remember.
Well, you know,
talking about this one.
Yeah, and I just said he never gave me he wouldn't give me a cost to fix it up, and I don't know why, but I said I just figured $20,000, and I said I plug it into our formula, and I told him I'd offer him $25,000 cash, you know, quick close, and
yep.
He's like, no thanks. And I was
perfect,
like, I thought that'd be fair. I'm like, I can get you a check like in, you know, a week probably. And
did you follow up? Did you follow up with what would you take?
I did. And, actually what I said after that was, he said, no thanks. And I said, well, do you have a counter offer? That's when I said, you know, we just put it in a spreadsheet, and that's kind of what we come up with, given the information I got from you. And he goes, nope. He goes, I'm just going to sit on it and wait for it to reap the rewards of this market or something like that. And I was like, all right, well, you know, keep me in mind if you change your mind or if you need any
yeah,
help or
so
anything,
Mike,
let me know.
Yes. Okay. Great job. At the end of the day, confidently present what you can pay for it, and knowing that people will either accept it or decline it, and that's okay. You can't control what they say. You can control what you're willing to pay, and that's the only number we care about, right? Here's what I can pay for this, okay? So we throw it on the table, and that's what happens. So this guy said no, so what? Then you said keep me in mind, which is fine. Here's what's better. You need a follow-up in 30 days, because you have his phone number, and I'm assuming it's a cell, with a text message that says,
yep.
Hey, it's Mike, just following up. My $25,000 offer still stands. Let me know. The longer that thing sits, because here's the thing. Your number's probably right, and if you're running it like most investors, you know, investors will come to different numbers based on exit strategies and that kind of thing, but, you know, we run the numbers fairly similarly. Right, there are a couple outliers, people that can pay more, or some will pay less. But the longer that thing sits, and when he gets no traffic, the better your $25,000 looks. And you still remind him, right? I can still close in 7 days. Let me know. So, yeah, that's exactly the lead that you put into FreedomSoft with a little status that says has a little drip and a task associated with it to fire in 30 days that says, text him your offer again. So,
okay,
that's perfect. Nice job. Here's the thing.
Yeah,
sales, right? Any kind of sales training is every no is one, right? You're one step closer to your next yes. So this is part of it. Let's go make 10 more offers. I mean, that's what happens. And they get easier. I don't know how many offers you've made, Mike. I don't know if I've asked you that question, but
that was my first one.
Yeah, so totally new experience. So nice job.
Yeah.
After,
I just figured
it's a
all cash, quick close, he would take, I kind of lowballed just because I was a little nervous. I didn't want to overpay, not really looking at it personally and not knowing that particular market that well. And a couple others I looked on, you know, are pending sale right now, like within a block for 45 to ones at 60. And they both need fix up too, and I offered him 25, so I think I kind of offended him, but you know, it's a start.
It doesn't matter. And this is I mean, Rob, he got over this long ago. He doesn't care if you perceive your offer as offensive. Doesn't care. He just doesn't. And it really, I get it. Cuz right? I've made offers before, and then a little bit nerve-wracking, and you think, what are they going to think about it? Get the emotion out of it. He said no, move on, follow up. That's what I'm saying. Your offer over time starts to look better and better. So, nice job. Let's make 10 more.
Yep. Definitely will follow up. And, yeah, it does take
that's a big deal.
The edge off it.
that's one of those mini wins on the way to the first wholesale deal win. That's one of them. And if you haven't made an offer as an investor before, right, as a homeowner, you know, if you bought a house, you think, oh, I've done that before, but not as an investor. So totally different game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good job.
Well, I mean, I've bought in probably 15 around 15 rental properties, but it's always been different circumstances where it was a lot easier. So it's just, this is just a little bit different scenario.
Yeah, cool. Your comfort zone has been expanded, which is, that's at the end of the day, that's ultimately what it's about. Things that are used to be and are now uncomfortable are going to be comfortable in the near future, and that's the direction we want to keep going. So, yeah, don't care. If they get offended, that's on them. You can't control when somebody gets offended. Because here's the thing. If you had an offer, if you had a vacant house for sale and somebody called up and lowballed you as an investor, you would chuckle and say, you know, you wouldn't say it out loud, but in the back of your mind, you would say, that's what I would have offered too. You wouldn't get offended. Right?
No,
you would just
I've been there. I had a problem house that, like, the tenants that, every tenant I had, and there was always a problem, like, if they would have given me any offer, I probably wouldn't have taken it right off, but at least I'd say, hey, you know, we're in the ballpark, let's talk. And I was just surprised he didn't, whatever.
Yep, cool. Good stuff. More offers. I'm telling you, get to the place. If you can get your deal flow up and your salesperson either setting appointments or whatever where you're making – at least an offer a day, hold on tight because things will start to move really quick. So that's killer. Nice job. Who else? We get everybody? Going once, going twice. All right. Want to make sure we get everybody covered. Hey, great stuff as always. A lot of good things happening. Some folks getting things moving. Keep your foot on the gas wherever you're at, right? Doesn't matter what's happened. Let's move forward wherever you are. And if you can add another 10, 15, 20%, whatever, with wherever you're at, we want to keep this thing moving as quick, right? We want to be on the faster side of what you can the time you can put in, the energy you can put in, the effort, that kind of thing. If we can ramp that up a little, let's go. Let's be intentional. This is a great time to build market share because everybody and their cousin wants into real estate. And so it's a great time to shine. For one, to come in as wholesalers and do it right and sell deals that your end buyers can still make money on. Because we have people, you know, they go to a three-hour seminar. Everybody's a wholesaler now all of a sudden. And they really don't know what they're doing, all right? So we're going to be professionals. Build your reputation now as somebody who brings good deals to the table and watch when the market crashes again. Now, we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but watch because people are going to disappear and your market share will expand. So it's a great time to be in real estate, especially to be a professional in the investor space because there are a lot of clowns. Right? You all have bumped into them. There are clowns everywhere around the investment space. And we're not going to be those. We're going to be professionals about it, know what we're doing. And so it's just a great time to be in this business. So, yeah, good stuff, everybody. Keep your feet on the gas wherever you're at. Have a good evening. Have a good afternoon. Any questions, get them into that coaching email. We want to make sure as soon as they come up, we get an answer your way. So there's as little downtime as possible. So, thank you all for being on. Chat soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep, take care.
Bye.
Yep, see ya.
Bye.